So, I really wanted to kind of talk about re how motherhood has impacted your professional life because, you're Karen, how old is Arya now? Tell us a little bit about how old Arya is.
Aria is almost 2.5 now. So when I just think about it, it's what a journey it has been. She is the best thing that could have ha ever happened to us. And she is growing so fast. And she's also the inspiration behind a lot of the changes that I've made in the past year that we've been away. And there's something very special.
The first question I want to have for you is just talking about when you had Arya and going back to work. How was that process of having to return to your busy life? Because you're an OBGYN and you've now birthed this human and now you have to return to work. How was that experience?
It was very challenging. I was very surprised by how attached I was. I did not realize what kind of mother I was going to become. Throughout my pregnancy journey, I assumed, and I remember you joking about it too, because I was like, I'm just going to be the same busy woman doing my thing. And you're like, girl, sit down, take several seats because your life is about to change. And we had this back and forth, and I really couldn't grasp that concept because I felt like I was just going to have a baby and go on to live my life and just be a mom, just like I've done other things in life. So it was a very humbling experience finding that I needed to nurture that bond more than I anticipated. I was craving to be with my child. So when the time came to go back to work, I couldn't do it. Like, I was anxious. I had postpartum anxiety, which was not a topic that I was comfortable with. And it was very ironic because as a gynecologist, OBGYN, I should say, I found that I discussed a lot postpartum depression, but I never really took the time to explore the concept of anxiety in the postpartum period. So I was very anxious, so I had to go through therapy and I stayed home a little bit longer to deal with that and had to rip up the bandaid and I wasn't ready. But I went back.
Well, you talk about a serious issue that a lot of women may not be able to identify. Talk about postpartum anxiety. Can you kind of elaborate a little bit about the feelings you were having and how you knew that this is what you were dealing with?
Well, at the beginning, it wasn't very clear. It just felt like I was consciously aware of this tightness in my chest, almost thinking about the worst that could happen. But it wasn't very clear why was that was happening to me. I felt maybe it was the lack of sleep and just learning to transition. And eventually it slowly evolved to being debilitating. I wouldn't want to leave my bedroom. My husband will try to get me out of the bedroom, and most of the time I will find a reason not to. I was always aware of people coming in and out, the dogs in the house. We have two dogs. And I think the day my husband realized something was going on is when I told him that I was afraid the poodle, the little mini poodle we have was going to eat the baby. And he was like,
Sorry,
well,
I'm not laughing about that.
I think we have a problem. I think we have a problem. It's time to seek help, you know? And it was very hard because I knew it was not rational, but I couldn't help it. My mind would just wander and just come up with these crazy scenarios of how something bad is going to happen to me or the baby, which impacted my experience, my relationships with my husband, my family. But the one thing that kept me grounded was that bond I had with the kid that I had birthed. And it was just that gave me the courage to seek help.
Good for you. And now you got the help that you needed. You had the therapy, and now you're back at work. How is work after having a baby? How are those dynamics? Are you enjoying it? Are you loving your job? Walk us through that process within those couple of months when you returned.
So I get back to work and the first few days are very challenging because I'm wondering how am I going to do this being away from the baby. breastfeeding. At the time I was breastfeeding, so I was pumping. And I found that being able to get back to work was helpful to me. I found that being distracted, taking care of my patients, it gave me an outlet. I found a new way to connect with my patients. I found that I was more caring and empathetic. And my, I always say this, is like when I walk into an operating room, I feel like so free and happy. I love the light of the operating room. So when I will be in there, I will just be so present that I wouldn't feel anxious, right? Which is the weirdest thing. So it was my saving grace going back to work. And I learned to adjust. I learned to be a mom, but a working mom. Mm. And finding that balance, I think, shifted it for me and allowed the hormonal process that was taking place to kind of settle and allow me to process it in a way that wasn't so overwhelming. So in addition to that, my support system was very strong too. I found that talking to my friends about it, talking to you, talking to my husband, who was very supportive and just gave me that security blanket as far as, you know, I got the family, like you do what you need to do, was very helpful, knowing that I had someone who was going to take care of my kid regardless of what was happening with me. So it was a very interesting transition. It was a very interesting process, but it was humbling. And it was a moment where I learned a lot about myself as a human.
So you're back at work and you've learning all these things. And I will just say, in terms of your professional experience and being a mother, how did it transform in that year and a half? Did you have to make specific changes within your job? Because Corinne, before, you know, a couple of years ago, I know you were director of this, DEI, yeah, this, yeah. You were heading this residency, this, you were doing, yeah. I mean, you had so many hats. And I'm like, how did you go back to work and continue carrying these hats and still have to go back, be a mom, be a wife? What specific changes did you make in order to balance your professional life?
Well, that's a very good question, Erica. I think that when I realized how many hats I was carrying, which I had always had many hats, it's just part of my DNA. That's how I operate. I realized that the only hat that I really cared about was being a mom. Honestly, I wanted to have the quality of life that allowed me to be a great mother. I found the most profound fulfillment in that role. So I needed to move differently to allow that to be the case. I also realized that although I truly enjoy what I was doing at the time, I needed to make some changes that required me shifting how my day-to-day was going to look like. So I was traveling almost an hour each way every day. And by the time I would get home, the baby will be almost asleep, barely enough time to connect with her, to connect with hubby, and then rinse and repeat. And slowly but surely, I started to feel worn out. Mm-hmm. And every day it started to become a little bit more challenging. And as I kept pushing, I asked myself, what am I pushing for? What am I pushing for? Because this is not working. And the structure of medicine today is so that it demands so much of us as providers that we kind of forget how to be just human behind it, right? Behind the curtain is a mother. Behind the curtain, there's a wife. Behind the curtain, then there's a sister and auntie. So there are many other things that demands us to be present, and medicine comes in. And although we love it, we went to school for years for it, it takes a lot, right? Mm-hmm. So I decided to restructure my life and I took a leap of faith. And one day I call my husband and I say, yo, today's the day I'm quitting. Mm. And literally he was like, word? Yep. Well, you do what makes you happy. Mm. And that was it. Mm. I quit my job.
Wow. What a wonderful response from your husband.
Yeah, no, I definitely recognize that. I recognize it was, and I honestly, I had all the answers ready and I was kind of surprised that he didn't push further, but I appreciated it because, you know, I came ready. I was like, this, but it never occurred because he understood that I needed something different. And that's what we did. So 6 months after returning, actually 8 months after returning to work, I left again.
Oh man, so you left your job. Where did you go? What was the next step for you?
So, believe it or not, I just went home. I went home. I stayed home for 6 months.
Wow.
I stayed home, and that I still remember the first week when I had no where to go, and I was like, well, this is life at home, right? And after enough cooking, scrubbing, and taking care of the kid, I quickly realized, okay, well, this is nice, but my intellectual brain is craving for something. And how do I fulfill that aspect of myself, right? Like, yes, I made this change, but I'm still who I am, right? So my brain is still trying to figure out, like, how are we going to fill the gaps here? And it occurred to me as I was taking care of my child during that period of time, how much I just enjoy watching her grow. And it sparked this creative journey in me that I explored.
Talk about that a little bit, because I saw, well, you know, I know, and our audience, some of our, you know, audience may know, our listeners, but during that time, you had the ability to write a children's book.
Yeah. It was a fascinating experience. So I'm sitting there, I'm watching Aria play, just being so excited to have me home all the time. And I'm humbled in the process of her development, just watching her connect with her world and exploring her world. And she's such a curious little girl. And we have a Doberman. I remember like thinking about how when he came into our lives, I was like so stressed out about being pregnant that I couldn't really enjoy his arrival. And our relationship progressed through the years. And today, like, he's such a great addition to our family that I can't even picture our family without him. But I was watching Aria interacting and making her stand about who she is and who is the boss of the house. And this big Doberman, two times her size, is following her. Yes, ma'am, you know? So I started writing literally in one sitting, and I wrote this story about Aria and her friend, the Doberman, just exploring. And it was such a good way to release that. I said, wow, I could do this. Like, let me see how far I could take this. And that's how the story came about and the book came about. And it was just one of the many projects that came out of that hiatus when I was home with the baby, supposedly resting. Okay.
Well, you know, rest, when you're doing something that you love and you're passionate about, even if there's, you know, work involved with it, it just doesn't feel the same. And, you know, I can't speak for you, but definitely I think that's what you're experiencing, is that no matter what level of work you're doing, when it comes to your child and when it comes to something that you love, it just doesn't compare to being, you know, in an office building.
No, it was definitely something that allowed me to tap into an aspect of myself that I didn't even know was there. I always knew that I was a writer. I always used poetry as an outlet, but this was a different space that I truly enjoyed exploring.
Lovely. So I want to pivot a little bit. In that time that you were at home, I know you had the 6 months to sort of re-envision how you'd want to live. You had the opportunity to think, when I go back to work, this is what I want to do, or this is how I want to spend my next 20 years. For sure you did that, because for sure. So I just want to ask you, what were you thinking in terms of the next 20 years? How do you envision your professional life?
Well, one thing is that when we were offline, we shared with the audience last time, there was a lot happening, a lot of moving pieces, but it was also a reflective time. It was a time where, I'm speaking partially on your behalf, but it was a time where we were both redefining our lives, right? The vision that we had of our lives. And for me, what I realized during that time was that what I was doing was no longer serving me. And mm-hmm. having the courage to change that was huge. Taking a leap of faith of staying home to figure out who I was in this season of my life without the extra income, just without the background noise and just sitting still, in quote, because I got really busy. But it was an extension of my exploration that led to various projects that bring me fulfillment today, right? So I was redefining that, what I asked myself is, what can I do to feel like today matters more to me than it was yesterday? Because what wasn't working yesterday was just the constant hustle and bustle was not bringing me fulfillment. So what can I change today? The main thing that I did was finding a new position that will allow me to have the time that I needed to be with my child, mm. to be present for my husband, to have the family structure I always dreamed of. So I look for a job that allow me to do that. So I transition into a new position near the house with hours that were more friendly for my family. And that also allowed me to have creative time, because I realized that I needed that creative time mm. to feel grounded. I needed that creative time to explore who I was as a person. So I put it into the universe delivered, it happened, and I found that position. Now, as I was evolving, I realized that there were a lot of things that I always knew that I wanted to explore. And one of them was my passion for the cosmetic and beauty aspect of gynecology.
Speak on that, because honestly, I remember having so many conversations with you in the past about, you know, when women would come and they would literally thank you for the surgical procedures that you would do. And that's me being modest and me not speaking about it, because I don't want, you know, Apple podcast to censor, you know, but you literally took a thing and made it into something beautiful, and your patients were so grateful. And I remember having a conversation with you and you're like, this is what I love doing. I love doing surgical procedures so women can feel their best selves. Okay. Yes, so that's just my little plug, because I know you're not going to talk about that, but go ahead. And
I know,
talk about where that led you. So.
Well, you know, I started to explore that further, and I knew that, like, you reminded me so kindly how I always had a passion for making women feel good, making women feel beautiful, aside for attending to their physical health. I felt that wellness is huge, right, in my space, and it hasn't been explored fully. So I started to think about a way to develop a place that brought wellness in various ways to women. So that's a topic for another day. So I started to look into that, see how I could develop that. And long term, to go back to the question that you had, like 20 years, it seems so far out. You know, when I close my eyes, like 20 years, I don't even think about like what day to day looks like, what life looks like, but I can tell you how it feels. And it feels like I'm fulfilled. It feels like I'm with my family. It feels like I'm present. It feels like I'm loved and I have peace. That's what 20 years look like to me, right? Now you may wonder, like, what do you do to achieve that? That life is so long that the various paths that we take to get to that are, it's hard to put in writing to me. I've never been that kind of person, but I've always been open to making the necessary changes when I'm in a season. And I just continue to trust the process of that little voice inside of me, that when it's time to change, I have the courage to pick up and go, or have the courage to go through the process of change, right? So I feel that where I am today, I'm exactly where I need to be. I'm exactly where I need to be. And the work is just continuing. And I just pray and hope that I remain courageous and engaged in the process, right?
I want you to share with our audience who may be either embarking on the journey of motherhood, or they're in it, you know, and they're trying to figure out how to balance this work thing. What tips can you give them to be able to survive motherhood and be a working professional?
Well, there's one thing I will say that is you have to be very intentional in creating what you want, the experience that you want, because motherhood is something that it's so demanding. It takes so much from you, but it gives so much, right? It's a beautiful gift that we get to experience. And sometimes within the gift of motherhood, it can be overwhelming to balance all the hats that we carry. But I want to challenge us as women, mothers, to be intentional in the choices that we make. Be intentional in creating a space that's happy for you. Be intentional in making the changes that you need so that when you go home at the end of the day, you feel present. And the reason why I use those words is because when you are in the machine, you just go and you go and you go and you go, right? You rinse and repeat every day. But if you don't stop and you analyze and you say, what brings me joy and happiness in this moment? Looks like X. What can I do to achieve that? You will never make the necessary changes that you need to achieve that. So for me, it's the intention behind it. Like, how can you be intentional about creating the life that you want? What does it look like to you? And if it is in making more money, then create avenues, work toward that, make that a plan for you and make it happen. However, I challenge you to invest in your wellness. Create a village around you that you need to maintain that wellness, because at the end of the day, that money that we're chasing is not what we are remembered by. Our children will not remember us by the trips that we took with them and we stayed at any like fancy hotel. They will remember when you played with them in the pool. They'll remember when you were present with them playing soccer in a backyard, but they won't remember that you were working so hard to make those whatever happen, right? So the intention behind creating wellness around us is what I will say was my saving grace. And I encourage women to seek that and make it happen.
Well, those words definitely inspired me this morning. I definitely needed to hear that for sure. And just pausing and really focusing on the wellness. So thank you for that, Karen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we are a work in progress. Mm-hmm. We are. So I'm so glad that we were able to go through the time that we spent off, because I think that we came back in a new season. We're in a new season, a new chapter of Hey Doc, Let's Chat. So I hope that within this season, we can continue to inspire our followers and audience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, it's been nice talking with you this morning, and thank you for bearing through my half awake self.
Now you're awake. Now you're awake.
I think I'm good. Good. I got my coffee.
I love it. See, that's wellness. That's wellness. Get that cup of coffee.
Oh my gosh. All right, Karen.
All right, love you. Well, it was a pleasure connecting with you as always. And I can't wait until we come back to the mic. So enjoy the rest of your week. Until next time. My name is Dr. Karina Oshteni.
And my name is Dr. Pindola Erica Choa.
This is Hey Doc,
Let's Chat.